we could have four.
Well, I was thinking we should get at least one member from the Tree Conservancy Committee.
Okay.
Up until George passed away, that was a pretty active committee. Dave is the new chair of it, but he's run into, he's helped.
Dave Ward.
But I think there should be one person from the Conservancy Committee on it. It just makes sense. They're doing part of the work that you're concerned with.
So Dave could fill one or the other. It could be the Tree Conservancy Committee or our board. Yeah. We've got Bernie volunteering. Do you think that it makes sense for Tom? I mean, Tom's got some health concerns of his own.
Yeah. We've got a meeting tentatively scheduled for the end of October for the Tree Conservancy Committee. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we get a volunteer out of that. There's two people on that committee who want to get, like Bernie, who are new, but want to get involved in the committee, a subcommittee.
Does anyone else want to volunteer for that committee?
I'd be willing if they're looking for additional people.
I don't think we can have too many, but I just don't want to get it so immediately that.
But you don't want to just have two.
No, and I think we need someone like either Dave or Tom on it would be a nice completion of that committee. Okay.
And you should consider trying to leverage the high school for resources too. Like I think there's an opportunity to make a recommendation to have students do a fair amount of the work.
Is there a lot of work to be done? I mean, the categorizing and everything.
Well, the work you might be confusing with the tree survey.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing. It's not a survey.
Okay.
This is it. I think a good meeting to come to the town board meeting. It's going to close up 9 o'clock. Determining what species of trees to go in with the new subdivision.
Oh, okay.
All right. What we're just about finished with is a tree survey, which we get a grant from New York State, so it's available by the state. We still pay for it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question about the Milestrip subdivision?
Yep.
Is that, so it's Milestrip? No, Milestrip and Baker, if you're facing north. Is it the one?
It's across from the soccer field.
The composting site?
Yeah. Yes.
It's across, right across the street.
Oh, okay. That is wetlands now. Okay. That's like a really wet area. So I was thinking around across the road where they have the six cemetery plots. I was just wondering if, you know what I'm talking about, the headstones from the Baker family or whatever. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not for Halloween. It's not it.
Okay.
No,
I just have to think.
So it's literally directly across from the compost.
Okay.
Yes. Correct. And it really helps us all if we have a chance before. That's why we asked Rose to send us the agenda and take a look at where these items are.
Right, but it just said it didn't specifically say it. Just says across.
Yeah, it's hard when you have vacant land. There's no address.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe Rose, in the future, maybe to put a narrative description as to what it's across from, or next to, or near, when it's only vacant land. Because unless you have the ability to look up an SBL number, it doesn't help you much.
Thank you.
No problem. So we have, and out of respect for our recreation director, Ed Lee, and in answer to Kyle and other people's questions, why don't we just introduce Ed, and you've got 15 minutes. Would you like to come up here and just talk to us?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. So... I'll give you the hammer, Ed.
Yeah.
So, Ed, you are the recreation director. How long have you had that position?
As the recreation director, this is my 19th year. 3 years ago, I took on the additional responsibilities of the Parks Department and the Forestry Division. So, I'm finishing up the third year of that.
Okay. And in just 30 seconds, describe what your duties entail in this position.
Well, on the recreation side.
Mostly on the recreation side, yeah.
Mostly on the end that we have, and I'll give you numbers to hopefully explain what we've done. When I took over initially, the department was generating about $30,000 in program fees 19 years ago. We will, at the end of this year, hit $1 million in program fees. and that's on an average of about $100 per transaction. Just as a quick example, on the aquatic side, we run all these now. We're a 7-day-a-week operation year-round. As far as the pool, we use the middle school pool 7 days a week. That's like our community pool. We use every venue available to us. This is where our office is now.
Right. Including this building as well.
Yeah. Actually, this building saved us. This building opened up January of 2020. It closed mid-March of 2020 because of the pandemic. We have always been very dependent on the school district facilities to run all our programs. Our relationship with the district is better than ever. They're tremendous, great partners together. We collaborate on a lot of things. But if not for this building, because the schools stayed closed, we were only one of three municipalities in the summer of 2020 to be able to run a summer camp, because our camps are all certified by the Erie County Health Department. Now, they were at 25% capacity, but we were still able to do that. This past summer, we had wait lists in the hundreds in our programs. We opened up registration February 1st, and some of the programs are sold out within the first hour or two. So,
thank you very much. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to give you the process. So we've got about 12 minutes. We have about 12 minutes now. To be fair to the petitioner, who I see is here now, we want to take him at 7 o'clock. If we need to, hold you over, because I don't think we're going to be able to have the full discussion that we want to have.
We move to the Parks Department side then.
Yeah, we want to talk about, and Kyle and others have asked some questions of us that we don't have the answers. We've asked Ramey, we've asked other people, and they don't have the answers either. Kyle, do you want to frame your question?
Let me give you a quick overview first of the Parks Department.
Do you know what the question is?
They may be answered in my overview.
Okay, go ahead. Just to kind of respond to that.
Real fast. I'm responsible for about 850 acres of green space in the town. That includes, as far as detention ponds that are the typical dry pond, we have nearly 55 of those to cut minimally twice a season. And our season is April 1st to October 31st. I do that all with four full-time staff that come over from the Highway Department to the Parks Department. Come November 1st, they're gone. The Parks Department pretty much doesn't exist then until the following April 1st. Part of that 850-some acres, detention ponds, we also do cul-de-sacs, and there are, as far as cul-de-sacs,
so you have a total number of cul-de-sacs, you know?
92. Yeah. These are two forms. These are worksheets I put together when I first took over to have some semblance of how to do it as efficiently as possible with the staff we have. Now, the cul-de-sacs are contracted out. I put out to bid that work, and it's a 3-year contract. They're into their second year. Been very satisfied with that. I base a lot of it based on the lack of complaints.
You can't be proactive. You've got to react because you don't have a staff.
It's
a third party. Who does that, by the way?
Year, it's Ed Jensen Landscaping.
Okay.
He did it last year, and he was satisfactory enough that 2 years extension to it at the same price. And that price, it's budgeted for $20,000. A year. It'll probably come in this year at around 15, because what he does, he's very prudent in his approach. It's not...
Because it hasn't rained a lot?
That's part of it. He'll cut it certain times. It is. I mean, there are variables that affect that price, and just the way he looks at things.
And in addition to the cul-de-sacs, the 98 cul-de-sacs, what about the when we take land in lieu of fees from the subdivision developers? That is also maintained by your office as well?
Yeah, some of that we call them, I call them satellites for the sake of internal description. And we have 26 sites that have to be cut. Some of these are entrance ways, for example, to, let's take Arrowwood, both sides of the entrance ways from Arrowwood off Chestnut Ridge Road, we cut. Most recent example, and this is, I guess, a little concerning because just adds to these numbers. The Tom Johnson subdivision that's going on right now.
Jude Holman?
Jude Holman, yes. Just within that development, we, my department, inherits three components. One, the entranceway, which happens to be marked off here in yellow because I couldn't determine whose it was or what we were supposed to cut. Also, there's a cul-de-sac and then also a detention pond. So all three components that I...
But on the right, in the lower right-hand column or area...
Yeah.
That is I live right there, near there. I go by there every day. There's soccer goals there.
Yeah.
Is that private property?
Yes,
or is that,
that's okay. Private. That but, borders the left side.
That's what I saw.
This yellow space.
But when we take land in lieu of fees, we call them pocket parks. You may call them something else.
I call it green space.
Okay, green space. But sometimes you put recreation. You put swings in there.
No.
You don't.
Usually. Well, the determination, I've never really been involved in the determination of monies or green space. I know the approach at times has been the green space where it's adds to some connectivity to
another open space.
Another trail systems or anything like that. We certainly don't want any more wetlands, but it's more something that may in the future be usable or, again, short-term connectivity to some other green space that's existence.
Let me see if I can turn it back over to Kyle.
Yeah,
Kyle, can you frame your question for Ed on the costs involved?
We're trying to determine what it costs to maintain these properties that we continue to add when we put in new subdivisions, because we can either accept land and the residents would get use of that land in whatever way it's set up as, whether it's a trail, just green space, whether there's swings on it or whatever. But we also know there's some costs associated with that, and it could be significant depending on, you know, what issues or maintenance that you have to do with the land. You've got mowing, you've got trees that might fall down or brush cleanup. You potentially, if there's equipment on the property, if there's like a swing set, you have to replace that swing set over a certain amount of time. And then along with the mowing, you've got equipment that you need to maintain, staff you need to pay, and all that stuff. So really trying to get a better sense of the cost benefit associated with that, at least from your opinion.
My budget for just parks alone that would encompass that 850.
Yeah, we're really talking about the 28 or whatever that number is for these.
I don't have any
satellites. Is there any way to figure it out, or is there an estimate?
I mean, I'd have to break down per hour of employee and
wear and tear on equipment, fuel costs.
Yeah, I mean, I had those all in my line item. My budget in total is $480,000. Right now, it is worked. I just redid it. And what I'm proposing for next year, we just go through the budget, is the same dollar amount. But to break down a specific cost for that space, to me, that the spaces you're talking about are almost irrelevant in the big picture, because we cut them every couple of weeks when needed. We're in and out of there. We've got bigger fish to fry, so to speak, in taking care of the neighborhood playgrounds, like Orchard Meadows, Honeycrest, Berman.
But those are not your we call pocket parks. Those are not your, what do you call them again?
But, neighborhood playgrounds.
No, with the subdivision.
You have satellites?
Satellites, yes. Those are not, you don't consider those satellites. That's not part
No.
Okay.
No, that's just part of the acreage.
Okay.
The footprint, you talk about adding, the footprint we're sitting in right now. We never did anything to this because it was open. And now there's a lot of meaningful things going on here.
Of those 28 satellites, how many of them have capital investment, like a swing set or anything like that? None of them?
No.
Don't you remember?
Someone touched it.
That's a playground. That's a neighborhood playground.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
The neighborhood playgrounds are Pawtucket, Orchard Meadows, Honeycrest, Berman.
And who owns those? Those are owned by the town.
All town, yeah.
You maintain them, okay. You're self-insured, the town's self-insured?
Yes.
For liability purposes.
We take care of them, we program them. That was a big part of our recreation side for the first time.
Okay. So I think we had a misunderstanding that there was beyond just the mowing and the potential liability if someone trips, falls, whatever. I mean, the town's going to be sued, everyone's going to be sued. But there's no real capital investment. It's just the ongoing maintenance of mowing every couple weeks. In the winter, you don't have to shovel or plow them.
What about landscaping? Is there any landscaping in those areas, like flowers or anything like that?
There are a couple of boardwalks, which I never referenced a pocket cutter, but over off Evergreen, there is an observation deck that's been busted up over the summer a few times by kids on weekends.
So like a bird song, they have a walking trail, but you understand that there's a distinction there.
And we take care of that, just right. That village.
But just with respect to the satellites themselves.
We just cut them.
You just cut them, that's it.
There's no equipment.
No trail?
There may be a trail through it.
If it connects to something
correct.
Else. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have, not with you, but do you have a list of all those 26 odd sites right there?
I have a quick question. The neighborhood playgrounds, yep. Were those what we consider pocket parks that you turned into a neighborhood playground, or was that different town? So we don't do anything with the pocket parks, basically. They sit there and we have to mow them, but they don't.
The term pocket parks.
Yeah, we created that term.
I'm using
the satellite.
The term satellite green space.
Right.
The most important part of those is they either short term or hopefully long term. Have some connectivity and some purpose to why we accepted that in lieu of money.
And that's why I don't know if you remember, we have the conservation easement program that we borrowed from ELMA, that we created our own, and we used to have a board member who would go out and make sure, you get a break in your assessment and your property tax get lowered.
Right.
And one of the criteria to determine whether we should accept this land and conservation easement is it connected to another conservation easement or other open land trail. So you try to do this so that it's less of an impact on the developer, or is it more important to connect it to some other trail or something else?
Each one is dealt with individually based on what you just said.
Okay.
If it benefits the town and that neighborhood, sure.
Okay. And I know it's not an exact science. Would you say the cost is more than $5,000 a year, $10,000 a year to maintain these satellites?
I would say it's between $5,000 and $10,000. It's typically one of my staff persons on a mower going out, and he can do this cycle in a week period of time.
And it's my understanding that those satellites, as you call them, we used to call them pocket parks, are available to me, even if I don't live there.
Oh, sure.
I can go and use that.
In fact, we encourage that by times on our website, we have listed our playgrounds, our neighborhood playgrounds, or some of our trails, like Birdsong, like Chestnut Village.
Sure. Okay.
If possible, Remy, can we take an action to have those locations of those 26 sites emailed out to the board afterward? I know it's written down.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to misrepresent, but I wouldn't even call it pocket parks. Some of them, as I mentioned before, Airwood, it's the entrance way to the development of Chestnut Village that we cut on both sides for maybe 100 yards or so. Same with the Breezewood entrance.
What are they used for? The kids just play catch? Or
no, they don't use it at all.
They just actually do meetings.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly what Tom Johnson's doing right now. We just told him we took over our responsibility, as I mentioned earlier. That entrance way where it's planted trees up maybe 100 yards worth on both sides.
It's deceiving because they got those soccer goals.
No, that's private.
That's private. That's what I thought. Okay. Why don't we start the meeting? And do you mind just staying around for a few more minutes? It shouldn't take long. Yeah.
Thanks. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Let's call the meeting to order. It's 7 o'clock. In accordance with the provisions of the ethics law of the town of Orchard Park, it is incumbent upon any conservation board member with a financial or business relationship with any petitioner coming before this board to disclose this relationship and, if warranted, to recuse him or herself from any matter involved with that petitioner. Any petitioner coming before this board who is a relative of or has a financial or business relationship with any officer or employee of the town of Orchard Park must disclose the nature and extent of such relationship in accordance with the provisions of the ethics law of the town of Orchard Park. please let the record reflect that Dave Ward, Tom Yeager, and Amy Grosstein are excused from tonight's meeting. And as a result, Daniel Couch, for two meetings in a row, an alternate will be a voting member. The first and only item on the agenda is... Before we get to that, has everyone had a chance to read the September 6th meeting minutes? Yes. Anyone like to make a motion to approve? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, they're approved. First and only item of business on the agenda is Alliance Homes Conservation Board File 37, 2021. So that means you started this last year, right? 2021?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good evening.
Why don't you sign in, please, to introduce yourself.
My name is Andrew Romanowski from Alliance Homes. Our address is 4727 Camp Road, Hamburg.
Okay. Let me just share this with you guys. Explain your...
Your point is that we're proposing a 23-lot subdivision. Our property is located 6940 Miles Street Road.
There's
the
there.
There is...
Is it an
assigned
address?
6940.
It's just an arbitrary address.
No, there's an existing house there.
Oh, okay.
House there that has that...
That'll be demolished.
Does 6940 sound right? It could be 6540.
Okay, what?
I think it's across from the compost. I'm pretty sure it's
across from the compost.
So it's roughly, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
6940, bingo.
Got it.
Okay. White House, small red barn in the back.
Yep. If it's rich.
Okay, so we're proposing 23 single family lots in our
one side.
If it's just vacant land, it doesn't get assigned a number.
Right, but then.
So if there's a house on it, gets assigned a number.
Right, okay, good. Thank you.
So again, 23 single-family lots, zoned R2. Total site is approximately 47 acres, and our proposed development is going to touch about 21 of those acres. The rear of the property, we don't have plans for yet. The biggest physical barrier there, Smokey Creek, runs about halfway through the property. So if you look at the map, essentially we are proposing a U-shaped public road with lots on three sides of that road, and the ones that are in the back facing the northerly lots, pretty much. The northerly lots would essentially back up to the creek.
Okay. But are you planning a phase two or contemplating a phase two?
Not yet. There's significant wetlands back there.
How would you actually cross that stream in the wetland? Would you have to mitigate?
To do that, yes. That's why we're not proposing any.
Okay.
Any
so you're really taking the front... Yeah. 50% or whatever it is.
A little less.
Okay. And what are you proposing? You know, we've got the choice. First of all, we're a recommending board, as we all know. We recommend to the town whether we take land in lieu of fees, and then it's up to the town to make the final decision. Part of our discussion earlier was to talk about how much it actually costs the town to maintain the land that we take in lieu of fees. What is your preference?
Well, I'm assuming that we'd be talking about fees similar to what we've done on the most recent projects we've been involved with. And the reason that I thought that was most appropriate is because of something I heard you mention during your discussion. I don't know if there's any connectivity available there, and especially when you consider that the creek is a major physical barrier. So I'm not sure what we would do in terms of green space. The whole left side as you face it, so that would be the west side of the property, is right. Detention basin. So there's access there and walking trails and places where people, I would imagine, would be able to walk their pets and stretch their legs. But beyond that, I'm not so sure that it's a great candidate for a trail, for example, just because I don't know if you go anywhere.
Let me ask, what would the fee amount be in this case? Approximately.
23. Well, you got to calculate 23 times 1650. I think. This is the zoning on this. By the way, there's two zonings on this. The front part is R2, mm-hmm. and the back part is R3.
Which is more dense in the front? the current zoning?
No, it's less dense.
Less dense.
Yeah,
back
yeah okay. The R3 allows for more density.
And I suspect some of the townhomes that are located off of Baker Road are roughly adjacent to the back part of the parcel, so the part that we're not proposing to develop at this time. And I think that's probably the same zoning that...
Yeah, and there's probably a reason they didn't extend that, it being the wetlands.
So I'm sorry, 1650 times 23?
23, yeah.
$380,000. $37,000.
There we go.
$38,000 approximately. Okay, and just curious, what do you sell these lots for, typically?
We're a ways off, so I would guess that these lots would be today's dollars.
70, 875, 80, 85.
Okay.
So it would be advantageous to you to not lose a lot, obviously, and pay a fee. From a business standpoint. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we're not hiding anything. We can figure that out.
Understood.
And how many lots? I think it's a determination. We could. You might only lose one lot if we do it. We talked about this at our work session. If you gave the land toward the rear, toward your stream corridor, you might not lose any lot, really, because it could. And you're saving yourself $38,000 because you're not losing anything in the back. And someone would have a nice backyard that they don't own that's maintained by the town. Anything we should...
Why would we want that?
Well, yeah.
I don't know why we want it.
One of the things to consider is the stream corridor, protecting that.
Yeah, that's what my question is. Like, what's the buffer for, you know, Smokes Creek? Like, how many feet out is protected? Like, there's a certain buffer for streams, like Smokes Creek.
None?
No, it's not like...
Not protected wetland.
You know, for a DEC-regulated jurisdictional wetland, it's 100 feet.
This is a stream corridor. This is federal.
This is an Army Corps.
Yes.
And there's no buffer.
Yeah, so practically speaking, those lots that I described...
That's my recollection, at least. Okay.
The lots that I was describing earlier as the northerly ones at the end of the U, if you will... Those are the ones that back up to the creek, and they're extra large because the back half of that is probably going to be undisturbed, undeveloped, and there are wetlands on the back half of the lot. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room to build homes outside of that wetland area, but included in that lot. So,
understood.
It's probably not a big. I don't know what would you do with it if it was wet.
No, but I mean to follow up what Bernie is saying. It would still protect it, even though it's not required by the federal government, the Army Corps, to do it. It does protect it. So that does answer, you know, it doesn't do us any good as a town other than to protect the vitality of the creek.
Well, why would we have to do that via this process? Like, if we were worried about protecting creeks, we should have some sort of a town code.
Well, the federal government's going to outbid us anyway. I mean, they preempt the field. We can't do something... Correct me if I'm wrong. We can't do something more restrictive than the federal government allows.
More restrictive, but not less.
Correct, yes. So they sort of preempt the field in terms of making those determinations. But why don't we...
Some of the history, though, with stream corridors is if... And I mentioned that while we were discussing this at the work session, is that if there isn't a town... agency, state agency or federal agency that has some look at this or jurisdiction, they tend over a period of time to get filled in. So that causes damage downstream and it causes damage upstream.
Bernie, I think this is in your level of expertise. Why don't you?
Well, that's what I'm asking, the footage for protection to prevent that from happening.
There is none required, but I don't know what it... From a practical standpoint, what buffer you would be ideal?
Well, I mean, if it's a wet, like it's a very wet area back there. I mean, 100 foot for a DC wetlands, it's not many feet. So I just think there's anything we can do to substantially protect the species that are local. And my concern is fragmentation, so cutting up anything. But that's not a concern on this property. But overall, we want continuity, like birdsong being one continuous piece, a very large area. We want it to be continuous so that species can actually reproduce and we have actually flourishing populations of animals. Like, that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay.
And also, too, remember, you physically only have one lot right now.
Understood.
So we're creating 23. So you can create whatever you want or what you think works.
Well, we can recommend to the town to accept.
Yeah. But with these projects, you always start out with the petitioner has a lot, and then you're moving from there as far as how many additional lots they'll get aside from that one lot.
Okay. You're a guest tonight. How would you even go back there to make? Would you even go back to maintain it or not? You won't. It would be
landlocked.
It would be landlocked unless they give you an easement to do so. And you don't want to do it. It's just going to grow.
Yeah. And that would be additional work to maintain it. That would really not put more burden on our.
It looks like we already have work to be done here.
Well, if I may, with respect to the stream corridor on this particular piece, so the wetland buffer protected area is pretty significant. So,
Army Corps.
And so is that stream. That's a pretty significant stream there. So it's not like someone is going to have the ability to fill it in or you know.
Okay.
It's pretty heavy duty back there. And okay. It's not a swale.
Okay.
People are going to disturb it, putting their branches in it.
Understood.
Pretty significant stream.
I'd like to take a poll from the members. Anything else we should consider, you think, Randy?
Well, just that it's a stream corridor that you want to protect. You can always create access to it by taking land from the petitioner 30 feet to get back to it. We do that with detention ponds on a regular basis.
Okay. I got a feeling you might have a divided vote. Refresh my recollection.
If I may.
Go ahead.
So the way that this is proposed, the detention basin that's on there actually extends. The land that we're proposing to dedicate to the town that would have the detention basin on it would extend all the way back to that stream corridor along the.
So then there is access to it.
Goes
well,
back
that's
back.
What I'm saying. It looks like we have another 674 square feet of land to maintain by the town.
Well, you have to remember that's your detention area.
I get it.
So anytime you allow a subdivision to go in, you're going to have that happen.
No, I'm just saying we already have 102,674 feet to maintain of green space.
Yes.
Let's take the money and run.
Yeah. And that green space is going to extend all the way back to the Supreme Court if you want to get back there for whatever reason. I can't mention that. Would be much easier to do it, but. Good.
So let me just go to our deputy governor.
Yes.
Thank you. So as I recall, we're a public board, and to have a quorum, we need a majority of the whole. We have five, and the whole is seven, I think, or eight. So we have a quorum.
Majority present. Again.
Majority present. So the vote. So there's five of us. 3-2 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Kyle, you want to? Take a stab and tell us what you think and how you would vote, Lynn or Pete?
I think I'd probably get the Pete because the way this layout is, I feel like the land's going to kind of protect itself. I don't think there's material additional benefit from taking land and fees could be used to benefit the town another way.
And you saw my email response to you. I still don't have an answer. Maybe we could stay after just a few minutes and talk to that because we don't necessarily understand fully what happens to the fees that we get. Mm-hmm. You know, that's still the other part of the equation. Daniel, what do you think?
I say you take the fee because of this large green area that will always be green. I see that there's okay with access roads and services. And like Kyle said, it's so far back. It is a flowing creek. It's not something that dries out in seasonal. So I'm not too worried about that. And the depth from development to the creek. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, it just seems like this parcel back here, I don't see how anything's ever going to be done with it.
Well, I mean, you'd have to do a lot of litigation.
Well, a lot of litigation, and I don't know if the Lions will lose either parcel on the other side. How are you build back here? You're going to have houses right here.
Yeah, why don't you should go to your neighbor and see if you can buy the land adjacent to it.
It's not like it's up to Baker and they can get another access in, or it's not all the way down Miles Street to our boat. Landmark.
Okay. Bernie, what do you think?
I'm still, so our vote is what we would want him
to do. It's lander fees.
That he's going to, like, say a portion of this property we are going to donate to the town, and the town takes care of it?
Yes, that's the
okay,
so that's, you've got two choices okay. only. You take land, the town takes care of it.
I will be the land.
Okay. And the argument is because it protects the creek that's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm going to choose land.
Okay. How about you, Melissa?
I'm going to say fees. I looked over the site plan before, and I think that there's so much greenery and trees between where we're looking in the land that if anybody's going to try to get back there and do anything, there's a lot of room that they have to walk through. I don't see people being able to dump or it ended up being an issue in the long run.
Okay. So you're going to vote for fees, land. It really doesn't matter how I vote because the fees win it.
But you need to be on the record.
On the record. I think for the record, as a result of the persuasive arguments made by the board member to my right about protecting it, but it's a close call. I would vote for land. You're going to win. You're going to get the vote anyway. But it's a close call, and I'd like to know what happens with the fees that we get. So let's take a formal vote. Fees,
land.
Fees. Hearing nothing further, that's going to be our recommendation to the town.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Check out for the recreation
department.
I'm sorry, what?
How will this get presented to the town? So we haven't had a split vote yet. Did we go to the town?
No, this goes to the planning board. That your recommendation is, I suppose I could put the vote down. I don't see any reason to do that. But if the board wants me to put the vote down for the recommendation planning board, they incorporate once in a while they, as we saw last meeting, they have questions that they want you to look into and answer. If they do, they'll kick it back to you. But this seems to be pretty straightforward. So it would go to the planning board. Planning board incorporates that into their recommendation to the town board.
And the only reason I ask there is it might be beneficial for the planning board or the town board to understand, yeah. Like there's some questions here that we're trying to
but
sort through.
But I guess I need to explain this a little bit more. Town board doesn't approve subdivisions or multifamily housing. That's a prerogative of the planning board. But they do have to approve drainage districts,
right.
Detention ponds, things like that. So, well, they don't do the final approval. They're involved in the approval process. If it was a commercial parcel we were talking about, this would be approved by the town board or denied by the town board.
Okay. Thank you. And we probably just won't keep you more than a few minutes. You might as well just come back up
no
here.
No problem.
Kyle brought up a point, and others have brought up points about how much it costs to maintain these, as you call them, satellites. We know you're going to get to Rose or Ramey, the locations, and identify it so we can all be aware of where they're located. Right now there's 29, or 28, he said. It doesn't appear that Andy's project will be a 29, that we're going to take fees instead. But
large detention.
I don't think he considers that. Do you consider that part of a satellite? That's
No. That's part of a detention.
One of his 55 detention.
Yes, correct. Yes, but it's not part of the, as he calls them, satellites.
Yes.
So the concern addressed or raised before last month and months before that was, are the taxpayers getting their bang for their buck? How much does it cost? You think it's $5,000 to $10,000 just for the satellites? But if we take fees, do we know what happens to those fees?
Yeah.
And
yes.
The fees, there's a recreation trust fund that's set up. I can't remember the exact code, but the monies that do come in from the development go into that fund and can only be used by definition for recreation-related building or programs. For example, just recently, $70,000 from that account was used to, because it was put out to bid, just decided upon a couple weeks ago, can be used for resurfacing or building a tennis court. But it has to, by definition from New York State, used towards recreation assets.
That's possible. I mean, I would think, like, if we're collecting it, if the conservation board is responsible for collecting it, I would assume it would be spent on, like, conservation-related activities, like a bocce court or repainting.
We're just recommending for it.
Right.
So, like, we're not.
I mean, if it's a tree planting effort, I would say that is money well spent.
And wasn't it used for this building? Because
I think it wrapped into the
park. The account was divided up back when the community activity center was in place, and so they diverted the recreation fees into the account to help with the community activity center. So the idea was once the community activity center was built, then we would go back to just having one account. We still have the two accounts. And I think we're doing cleanup stuff like the bocce court.
Right now, it's doing stuff two like accounts. That. There's about $600,000.
And I know we were talking earlier about a potential code change to not give the discretion to us to make the recommendation and make it just fees instead of land. We heard from the developer that it's advantageous for the developer to not give them a lot because they're selling them for $80,000 and they're giving us $39,000. You know, and a change to the code, correct me if I'm wrong, would need to be voted on after a public hearing by the town board.
Yep.
But it also limits your options. Why, I don't I don't know why you'd want to limit your options.
I'm not saying
you don't have to.
But a board member raised the question of how much does it cost and what's the cost benefit analysis.
But you don't ever have to take land.
Right, I understand.
You don't ever have to make that
recommendation. We had a vote today and we didn't take land.
Yeah, but I think the board having more options is better.
But I think that the three people who voted for the fees have to understand, so he's going to build a 23rd house, okay? That's more, I mean, again, you got to weigh all, in my opinion at least, I'm one person, but you got to weigh the cost benefit of that. That's going to be more demand on the infrastructure of the town, on the school district, on the sewer district, on
recreation.
Yeah, recreation. I mean, there's a cost to that. It's not just how much does it cost $10,000 to maintain these satellites. Another house, yeah, they'll be paying taxes. But, I mean, for example, I don't have any kids, and I still pay school taxes. Okay? But I understand the public policy argument for that is it benefits me when I go to sell my house because we have a good school district. And I think the argument would still hold true. These, as you call them, satellites, benefit the residents in that subdivision or anyone else in the town that can go there and use them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd bridge that point. I think once we get the list, I'm probably going to take a... Take a trip around the town, take a look at what we've got.
Really? Because,
let me further clarification for satellites. That includes on my list the cutting of the green space around the library. It includes across the street you cut McFarland Park.
That's in the $5,000 to $10,000 that you're estimating?
Yeah. It includes, for example, I don't think we had a choice. Correct me if I'm wrong, but going back to the current and new development from Tom Johnson off Jewett Homewood, that strip coming up both sides where trees are planted, I think they turn it over to the town. We have to maintain it. There's no choice. So that will go on my satellite list. That's the way I differentiate detention on satellites, cul-de-sacs, for cutting purposes. So, again, that's when you see the list. Most of it is that type where we had no choice. Town has to take that over. And we
so that really, and from an equitable standpoint, that really should be counted toward the cost of maintaining these satellites because that's something. Did we took land in lieu of fees in that case, didn't we? I don't remember.
Tom Johnson, no.
We did. We took fees?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you still have to maintain that.
We have to maintain three components of that.
Right.
But that's the detention pond and the front entrance.
But the front entrance or the going in is still part of that $5,000 to $10,000 that you estimated cost?
For the most part, that will go on my satellite list.
Why don't you?
Rich, one of the things too with the cul-de-sacs. I mean, the planning board has now made a concerted effort towards not having cul-de-sacs, if at all possible. And part of that is the cost factor to the town and Ed's department. So when we've already had a couple of tentative subdivision plans come in that have, for example, three cul-de-sacs, and we've got them to cut it down to one where it was a necessity because there was no other way they could reach the land and get a road without putting a T in it. So
just make it all. I think that would happen in the cul-de-sac.
You don't have any money.
That's a bigger
issue as far as cost and timing.
Are
the
cul-de-sacs? Well,
seem to be endless.
Don't go with that view around
any conservation. Because, no, you're right. I mean, you're both right. That I mean, I've got a cul-de-sac in my neighborhood, and people just pile crap on it.
Well, it drives me crazy. I live on Ponderosa Court, right up a mile.
Sure.
We have that little strip that our entrance to that the town maintains. Yeah. It's town land. It's mowed, in my opinion, every 4 weeks. I have 1 zillion dandelion on it. I can't put true green on that. I mean, why can't the town just dispose of some of that stuff? Just get rid of it. Just, I'll buy it from you guys. It's 10 feet wide by 100 feet long. And I drive by it every day.
You mean like replace it with concrete?
No, just no. Let the
see, Kyle, you started a trend.
And then
I would buy that strip of land so I don't have to drive by 1 million dandelions on a street that has $800,000 houses, and I got to walk through that every day. It drives me crazy.
And people on my street, which is an older subdivision than yours, let Lenny's Lane, they pile all their sticks and garbage and.
But see, that's I'm sorry, but wait, we're gonna take one lot, okay? What are these half acre lots?
No, they're bigger.
No. Okay.
Well, you have the minimum's 4 acres.
Yeah, for a subdivision.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we take 4 acres from these guys?
Yeah.
It's 26 lots and there's 23 rooms on it. 26 acres?
No, he said 46.
No,
that's also 26
acres. 26 acres is the creek wetland. 21 acres is the
creek. So it's about 3/4 of an acre. More or less.
So we would be taking one lot. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's a good thing to have the choice. I mean, we can still. Why don't we?
Oh, for sure.
Would you mind getting to Rose or Ramey, the 28 satellites or whatever the number is, and then we can take turns, or you know, Kyle can drive. We can all drive over and see where they are.
Yeah. So, Rich, my comment wasn't that we should only be taking fees. It's that we shouldn't be taking land until we understand the impacts of what we're taking. Which I think we
don't think there's, but I don't think there's a substantive.
I don't think there's a choice. Do we really? Like, again, I referenced Tom Johnson only because it's new. I don't think the town has a choice to not take that entrance way straight.
No, not
no,
that.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about
land instead of fees.
Land.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But it's good to still have the choice. And I think if you're looking at the cost, looking at the cost of these lots right now, maybe we should revisit the fee percentage that we have. Because
you're right. I mean, I was going to suggest that, but we still have to go to the town board and. The taxpayers are going to say you're just imposing or the developers are going to say you're imposing an additional cost to do business in the town.
Well, I think that
was. But it's 16. Where did we get 16? Just curious where we got 1650 from.
Yeah, we increased it maybe 6 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was low.
It was lower than 16. Oh, it was raised.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was low.
But how did we come up with that? It was just a wild ass.
We hired an engineer to do the calculations, and he came up with some revisions.
Based on what, though? The cost of
land.
I think it's low. I still think it's low.
Well, it is. It was six years ago, 10 years. It used to be about a couple $100 for recreation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
But the cost just gets passed on to the person who's building or is buying the house.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah.
So there was a case, I believe this came up in January, February. I'm not sure if either of you were on the board at the time. And I had the argument of taking the fees instead of the land. And Sweet George was here, and I couldn't argue with my grandfather, basically. He's not, but, you know, he's a sweet old guy. You're not going to argue with him. And I think I was the only one at that point in time that sat here. I said 100% fees, and I think the vote went land and fees. So it was a connection of the two. So I think that there should be a choice in there that we should review it.
Yeah,
but a lot of these cases, I think the developers come in here, they know what they're buying to develop on.
Right.
So they come in here and they feel like they can just push us over. They come in here and they say, well, we have this excess land that we're going to get rid of. So the town will take it because the town is always just taking the land and made these pocket parks and these cul-de-sacs and satellites.
That was exactly how Tom, it was Tom Johnson, he was in here and he said, well, I can't do anything with this land anyway.
So he doesn't want it, the developer doesn't want to get stuck with it. So then he's going to have the liability or he's going to have to push it on to whoever buys the land. But the town ourselves, we're going to have the liability with us. So if somebody throws a fridge back there and some kid jumps in the fridge and dies, well, nobody was back there to mow because it's landlocked and
it's final choice.
Things like that.
But Melissa, we don't, for the number of subdivisions that get proposed and go in, we don't take land very often.
Right. I just know this has come up once before in the land thing. That was my question. I sent you an email after that, and I remember you responded that we were going to look into what we're talking about tonight, how often that did come up. That was the first time it ever did come up for me.
But it doesn't come up very often.
Because there's not that much land available.
Well, and the other thing is, the main thing you're looking for is connectivity.
Exactly.
It has to be a parcel that's connected to something that the town already has.
Right.
That doesn't happen very often.
Right. So I agree taking land in cases that come up.
I think we're all saying the same thing.
Sometimes we're just pushed around by the developers.
Yeah, I think we're all saying the same thing that we have a choice.
Can I ask you?
The choice, but I think Kyle's point is we just want to understand what the cost-benefit analysis is.
So how did something like Arrowwood Lane, I think it's Arrowwood Lane, where they have all of the trails, kind of like Birdsong, and you've got a coexistence between nice wetlands and habitat and animals and people, and there's nice trails, and we're maintaining them. How did that happen?
Chestnut Village Trails.
Is that what it is? What did we vote on for that particular case? Was it like land or fees?
I think it was.
The board was a different composition back then, and we had two people on the board, two people primarily, Amber Gantz and Nan Ackerman, who were really interested in creating trails throughout the town and passive recreation areas.
Yeah.
And so they worked with the developers, and you have to remember, that was a huge parcel when it came in. And again, it's one lot. They all come in with one lot. What they try and make you believe, they've got one lot. Now you're determining how that one lot's going to get divvied up.
Okay.
And they divvied it up with trail.
With the
trails and passive and things like that. And you can do that with any project that comes up. It's a little difficult one that's this small.
Right. 23 frames. Yeah. That's a big lot. That's a huge selling feature.
And then how did you get it from 46 to 29 with Birdsong? Like the Birdsong, I think it was like they had originally 49 and then it got down to 26. How did that one happen?
You thinking of the front part by Freeman?
Their most recent one, it was like there were supposed to be like 50 houses, but then somehow that got knocked down to like 20-something. Like, how come we couldn't say
today? The last one in Birdsong, which was part six, there were 20, coincidentally enough, I think there were 23 parcels, just as there were with this one.
Okay.
And they knocked it down to four.
Oh, okay.
But that was a practicality. There's no sewers in that one corner up there.
Yeah. Okay.
And they would have had to... It would have been very costly for him.
So it had nothing to do with this board saying, don't build 29, only build 4. It was just because
of the cost. No, they could have built the 23 homes if they wanted to incur the expense.
Okay.
But they calculate it out in their own best interest. They have 4 big lots on septic systems that they could sell tomorrow.
How much sewer capacity do we have left anyway? And is there really much left south of Armadules?
Well, two things. One is if I were a board member, either town board, planning board, or conservation board, I would never vote to extend the sewers south. Because once you do that, the main part of the town, the village, is going to start looking like Niagara Falls Boulevard with all the additional traffic. You need. Tom tells me from engineering that you need a minimum of 3 acres, if you're going to go with the septic system.
So a lot less dense.
A lot less density. So that's a concern. As far as the capacity goes, we'd have to check with the sewer district to see what the capacity
is. Is that town or
is.
County?
County.
Sewer district three, is it six? Three?
I think it's three, maybe. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I think it's sewer district three.
Board member wants.
But you've all read about the problems that they have at the sewer plant down in Hamburg. When we get really heavy rains, it overflows. City of Buffalo has the same problem.
They had that in Chickawaga. They did the ORF, the overflow retention facility.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can contribute to not having that happen by keeping a minimum of 3 acres if you want to put a house in.
Thank you very much. Just get that information to us. We really appreciate it.
If you have more questions, give me a call or stop in.
He's available next June.
I think Kyle being the most of the return, Daniel Snyder, all your neighbors, we're done.
I think I'm getting it.
You got it.
Thank you. It's okay. Rising sun red bud. Beautiful.
It's almost like a shrub. But in the spring, it is red.
Yeah. That turns into the fall. And like so the leaves, they look unique.
They are cool.
And even in person, they look like that.
They are really cool.
Someone drop
your pen.
One of you guys.
Yeah, no. Yes. I don't think